Yes.
I believe in Ross and Adam at the movies.
Yeah, me too. This is we're back. People we're said doing it. It shouldn't. People said it shouldn't be done.
We said it shouldn't people be done. Said,
yeah, we said. Oh, are we still doing this?
We quit.
This is episode
for a year.
This is episode. Yeah, you can't fire me. I quit. This is episode 6. And I try not to timestamp any of these. So this is any. This could be happening at any time. But
past or future.
There is a big space in between the last episode and this one, and that'll never happen again. We're about to get real consistent with a capital
K,
C, yeah. But capital K, backwards R, like
our favorite like, band,
like the band Korn. Do you think when Korn was like testing out? And we'll get our guests' feedback on this too. Do you think when Korn was testing out the logo, they were trying different letters
backwards
right. And they started with the O, and they were like, "Oh no,
yeah,
oh no, this 100%.
Doesn't, yeah." And they moved the N sideways, and they were like, "Kors."
I'd love to welcome right away to the show, Ross and Adam at the Movies, our esteemed guests, Becca Mancari. Becca Mancari, do you like your freak on a leash or running free? How do you like
running
your freak?
Running free. And
what do you dream about running all
free.
Day?
Pizza.
Oh, yeah, that's that song. Addie Dapp.
Is that a Korn song?
All day I dream about sex. Yeah, of course.
Addie Dapp. If we made shirts... Becca, these can be your shirts.
Yeah.
You should make a shirt that says "All day I dream about pizza."
Your appearance on this podcast,
100%.
Yeah, then
this show is blowing up as we speak. So, mm-hmm. 6 is a power number. I'm really proud to be on the 6th episode.
Oh wow! Yeah, well, we're happy to have
what's
you.
What's the opposite
Thank you for
of
being here?
Of course.
What's the opposite of blowing up?
Like shutting down,
deflating,
shutting down.
Yeah. Powering down. The show is powering down. Everybody says so.
Coming to a halt with a whimper.
Becca, did this ever happen to you in your esteemed musical career? And this is the only time we're going to talk about Becca's music. Becca makes incredible music, a great record. We're not here to talk about.
Thank you.
We're not going to talk about it again.
Thank God.
We're not going to talk about the incredible songs. We're not going to talk about the bad songs that didn't make the record.
Love that.
We're not going to talk about any of it. But if person listening wants to check it out, you know where to get music for free, or you can buy it on a Bandcamp, or you can Venmo Becca directly, and in the comment on the Venmo, Becca will type out the lyrics.
Brilliant.
To and the notes.
To a Korn.
Much work. Just go to Spotify. You can listen to it. Let's go.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's true.
JK, I'll take your money.
I get why people use Spotify. People use Spotify because it's a lot easier than Venmoing the artist directly and getting the tabs typed back out to them.
Recording yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
And listening to it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But Becca, in your career, did you ever have something happen? It feel like it's usually like one piece of press or something, like a very light bit of coverage that causes someone in your life to tell you you're blowing up when in fact you're actually not blowing up at all.
Oh, wow. I mean,
happens to me a lot.
Yeah.
I'm not blowing up. I'm not a success.
I don't know if that is true, Adam, in the void.
Becca is your person
innocent.
Who does that to you.
Yeah.
In the sense of like surviving off the thing, I'm not, which is fine because I love making the thing. But there's like everyone, but you know when you're blowing up. I feel like I have friends who blew up and it's like, you know when you're riding that ride. And when someone has to come tell you you're blowing up, it means it's not happening.
Yeah, Becca, what does that feel like as two people who have never felt that before? What's the blowing up experience?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
you are blowing up, right?
Here to tell you that you're blowing up.
I definitely think that is in the realest way, if you can make a living with the thing that you love, that's blowing up, right? Like, I am fully able to watch The Godfather this morning and literally do that as my job.
Three-hour movie in the morning. That's
in the middle of the day.
Wow.
That's blowing up in my mind. Mm-hmm. So
Do you think we're gonna pay you for this?
Hell no! I knew you weren't gonna pay me for that. And even
is that what you right. think? Should we?
No.
We should have mentioned
because we're getting a lot of. Well, we're getting a lot of seed funding for this. Absolutely. A lot of people don't know, right. but the show,
it's a venture capital
this
project.
Episode, this episode brought to you by Monsanto, of course. Monsanto,
oh,
thank
shit.
You so much.
Bayer. Thank you, Monsanto. Love it.
Love it. Here's the yeah. It's food. Food had, I mean, like thousands of years to just be unmodified, mm-hmm. and I think now's the time.
Right. Also, this is a Mario Puzo's Ross and Adam at the movies.
I know. We're actually breaking our rule.
I noticed that
of only doing movies, of only doing movies that are strictly right. the word "the" and one word right. title, because technically, this is Mario Puzo's The Godfather.
Right. Now we can watch Marvel's The Avengers, though, because you know we've broken the seal on this.
Mario Puzo's The Avengers.
Wow,
which mm-hmm. is
what a film.
These are yeah, probably the two longest movies ever made. Going back to blowing up, Someone blows up in a car in The Godfather.
Yes, I wondered if that was the first time that actually happens in a movie.
That someone explodes in a car?
Yeah, because that's like a trope, but I'm sure it's a trope from the very famous movie, The Godfather.
That's the thing about this movie. Yeah. You almost have to see it just to know what everyone's been like talking about your entire life.
Right.
Sauce.
There's so many references that we grew up with, you mm-hmm. know, no matter if you're Italian or not. Like, it's just... so iconic in that way.
Right.
This is already, we're already oh, talking about the
yeah,
movie
I guess
too
this
much
good
for my liking. It is good. This is rare. This is rare that we've talked about a good one.
Mm.
Yes. Real quick before we even go back into the movie The Godfather, which is of course why we're here to talk about, there has been a long space between when we taped the last episode and this one. So long, in fact, that one of us on the show currently had a child born.
Right. Can neither confirm nor deny this fact.
In wedlock. That's and right. I know it ain't Becca, and I know it ain't me.
It ain't me, yes. man.
And so, you know, Adam, there are easier ways to ask me to be the godfather of my child than us doing this episode.
As Bob Dylan said when he was asked by Mavis Staples if he was pregnant, it ain't me, babe.
Damn.
Ross. So this is going to, yeah, Ross had a baby, which I thought right. this could be the perfect way to kick off a new segment on the show called The Dad Father, Part 1, where we talk about what it's like to be a dad. Mm. And real quick, because it's probably not that interesting. No.
The God Dad. Wow.
That's Becca's segment, yeah. The God Daddy.
Yeah.
We're going to do that next. We're going to do God Daddy Part 1 after we do The Dad right. Father Part 1.
I was thinking this movie should be called Mikey's Big Bad Gangster.
Why? Why?
Wow.
Because, you know.
And why did you say it?
I think that would be a better title. That's all. We wouldn't be watching it for this podcast, but nonetheless. Anyway, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, it's you just what's, you know, what this, you got a new kid. What's it like to have a new kid? First kid, long time kid.
Yes. It's wild. I mean, like I actually watched this movie over, I think I had to buy this movie because I could watch it within a rental period. That's absolutely true. Right. It's such a long movie. I watched it, I think, over 5 or 6 nights. And then today I was like, what happened in this movie again? 20 minutes at a time in the middle of the night.
As was intended by the director.
That's what they wanted, yes.
I've definitely made it, Russ. I've made it. Let's keep going.
Right. Yeah.
Blown up.
Yeah. I'm blowing up.
You're blowing up. You're blowing up, Russ.
It's a wild ride. Yeah. You guys got to do it. It's crazy. Get in there with the kids. That's all I got.
Well,
it's really fun.
I was hoping for a more interesting anecdote, and it seems like you're entirely unprepared, which is weird because you spend all day sort of staring at this thing.
I will say that, like, early on, though it's difficult to have a child, as you may or may not know, even in the best of circumstances, and we had someone visit early on, a couple weeks in, and when they left... we were both like, I bet this person thinks that we're literally suicidal right now because we were so completely distraught by everything. We went for a walk and I think I said one sentence out loud the entire time. I was just like in a completely different world. And then the next day we were like, everything's fine. You know, she's like sleeping well and everything. And if they came back right now, we'd be happy people. But they saw us in the moment that we were at our darkest hour.
I also feel
that's pretty good.
Ross, like, is it like a little unforgivable of your friend? Because like you live in Brooklyn, right? Is that right?
Yes, I do live in Brooklyn. Yeah, it takes 5 hours to run an errand.
Exactly. And having a baby and even having a guest in New York, like there are very few people that are like, oh, yeah, Becca, like come stay with me in New York. Like, right. That's a big honor. So
yes. And since
they should be the godparents, they should be the godparents.
I should be the godparents and they should be the parents.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
And since we never say when this podcast is taking place, my child could be 20 years old by the time that the listener hears this. Or,
you that's know, true. No timestamp. Yeah. The,
no
there was a visitor. There was a visitor to your home, mm-hmm. may or may not have been during the tail end of a global pandemic, which, of course, the tail end alone has been lasting for, I think, 9 months.
Right. I think it's permanent.
This was a,
it's a permanent.
It's
effect,
a permanent
yes.
tail end of the pandemic.
Yeah, what's cool is even when the pandemic's over, I'm still going to feel bad all the time. So that's nice. But one of the side effects is I've, you know, I haven't been able to meet your child yet. And it's like right. when it finally does happen, I can pledge here in, you know, thematically speaking, to give your kid a big godfather kiss right on uh-huh. the lips.
Oh, boy. And you can also give them insecticide to go spray on plants in a garden. That'd be
this
great.
Is you're focusing this on the wrong part, focusing on the wrong you're focusing on the wrong parts of the movie to be yeah on the kissometer. Mm. I think there's sort of the two extremes of kisses. Mm-hmm. Both are acceptable with consent. You've got the Godfather kiss on one mm-hmm. end, and then you've got the Roger Rabbit kiss on the other end. And the only difference is they're both equally forceful. The only difference is the volume of the sound
right.
of the sort of like, mwah.
And Al Pacino has happens. Definitely done both in his career. Absolutely.
That's true. Yeah. This is, we've talked about this already on an episode, but if anyone still hasn't watched the movie Heat recently, you can, the film opens with the most gratuitous, disgusting rated R, like Al Pacino kissing. Mm-hmm. That you've ever seen. They're just like, there's just
you know
a director
a
behind.
Movie.
There's a director behind that camera being like, wetter, more wet.
And it's him and Robert De Niro, right? One take.
It's the first time, it was a big deal, the first time they kissed on camera.
Yes.
Sexy.
And then The Irishman, of course, is the first time that Robert De Niro kissed mm-hmm. a younger version of himself on camera.
So,
and we'll, maybe we should have Becca back for The Irishman
absolutely.
In a year.
We'll do it next
incredible.
Week.
But let's get back to that was the dad father part one. We'll do that every time now. Definitely no
the god dad.
No, yeah, I'm not gonna. Yeah, well, god daddy is now Becca's segment. Becca, have you ever been at a party where an old person sings with a big band?
An old person sings with a big band.
Yeah. You probably get asked this all the time.
Yeah, I was having a lot of like familial feelings with. The beginning of the guy. Are we getting into it or where are we at right now? Are we talking?
Oh, of course. Yeah. So, well, we're of course still in the sound check period, but we're going to start recording, I think, in like 20 minutes.
Incredible.
Once I get the mm-hmm. high, once I get the high mids kind of.
Great. I've got all day. So great.
I'm still ringing out the wedges on my end, but I've got two big.
Don't you dare, Adam.
Big
I'm out.
Stage, two big
I'm not,
stage wedges.
I'm not that
we're just
big yet.
Ring these out. We're just going to ring out these stage wedges, but you get your in-ear mm. set and you go into the green room and you can just shotgun the, we got a can of celery in there. We were able to put celery in a can and seal it.
And it's not
and
a
you
prank.
Want to do,
that's absolutely
it's
true.
Not
it's
prank,
not a joke.
It's, but it's no. celery. It's celery and ranch are mm. in the can. You just want to pop the right. side of the can with a Swiss Army
if
knife.
We paid, if we paid people no, per hour, this would be a very expensive movie to have someone on mm-hmm. talking about. Fortunately, we don't. Fortunately, we do not.
Yeah, let's talk. Let's get into it. Familial feelings. This is, I mean, The Godfather, like The Fast and the Furious, is all about family.
Yeah, I was thinking that Vin Diesel must have actually just dimly tried to remember lines from The Godfather for his lines in Fast and the Furious. Like,
they're certainly the two most most illegible speakers ever
yeah.
of all time.
On marbles in
of all mouth. Time, Becca, have you ever been at a party where an old person sings with a big band?
I really, truly am trying to think. And I feel like, Yes, I have, but not with a big, big band. But I have been to my grandparents. I think it was their 40th wedding anniversary. And there was a Frank Sinatra.
On which side?
Oh, my dad's, the Italian side.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you call those? What do you call those grandparents?
So I would actually call them, papa, mama, pop.
Love it.
Yes.
Great. Yeah.
Mm. So, I got to suggest that to my parents for my daughter.
Yeah. I mean, are you either of you at all Italian, or am I speaking to any kind of family here?
No, Ross is part white and the other part of him is pretty white. I'm 90% white and then 10%
beard.
White. Yeah, 10%.
Half wait, man, did you, half animal, Becca, did part, you choose this movie for us to watch? Or
no, who do you think chose this movie? He, Mancari. Adam was like,
oh,
come on.
Oh, Maron. No, wow. That wasn't why. I thought,
I'm hanging
I
up.
Thought it would just be...
I'm very Italian.
I thought it would just be... Well, you are. No, I pitched you a bunch of movies. I was like, Becca, we got to do the live action Super Mario Brothers. You're going to love this. Mm-hmm. And then you said that was inappropriate. And so we picked The Godfather.
I was like, give me the most relatable thing to my personal life possible. Mm-hmm. And that's The Godfather. Followed by The Irishman. So my grandpa knew some of those guys. Yeah. So there you go.
What?
Well,
we got to have you back. Yeah. We're already having you back. So perfect.
Oh, yeah. That's real.
We got to have you back and continue to not let you say the actual interesting things you have.
That's what's and also longer movies every time. Every time a little bit longer.
4 hours. Yeah. 4 hours.
The Irishman is so long. It's stupid.
Wait, so Adam, you were kind of the Johnny Fontaine at my wedding, but who would the Johnny Fontaines be at your guys' wedding? Like, Adam, I'm assuming yours would be Randy Newman, if you could... choose someone to famously sing at your wedding.
Someone who vaguely, Randy Newman singing at a wedding would be a pretty significant bummer. I feel like it might
that'd be great.
Yeah, who do you? Because I feel like in The Godfather, Johnny Fontaine shows up at the wedding, and every
freak
woman
out
at the wedding, mm-hmm. like
freak.
She can't believe it. It's, the person has to have that caliber of, just sort of like magnetism to pull everyone towards them sexually.
Right. Mm-hmm. And who would that be?
So I don't know. Well, I know Becca's answer, of course, is Ricky Martin. And I guess mine.
Okay. That's.
She's walking out.
Of a living person, yes, Ricky Martin. But deceased, probably
Johnny Fontaine.
Nat King Cole has to be. I mean, it
that
runs deep,
amazing.
The Rat Pack.
Yes.
Yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah.
Oh,
my grandpa always said, he was the best of the Rat Pack.
If you could do deceased shots, it would be Groucho Marx, right? And have him...
that would be brutal. Yeah, have Groucho Marx sing Hello, I Must Be Going. At my wedding, everybody
so
immediately boos and leaves. Mm-hmm. No, I guess mine would probably be Shaggy if Shaggy kind of rolls up.
Wow.
Shaggy rolls up on a Segway and sings, "It Wasn't Me."
He only sings one song, but it wasn't me.
he had another hit. He had Angel. He had Angel.
Incredible.
I would, Shaggy or maybe Sean Paul, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Paul, a Godfather remake where Sean Paul shows up like that would actually make a lot of sense and be a pretty special thing.
Yes. Will there be?
And then it's still the full Italian big band playing the like dun 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 dun, and then it's
I mean, don't you feel as an look? I'm speaking to you, but like you're both Italians. As an Italian myself,
yes.
There's this spot in Nashville. It's called Smeraldo's, right? And it's like right down the street from where I live. And it's this old Italian bar that was like super famous in the era of like Johnny Cash would go to it, like back in the day, the 60s, 70s. And you can see it has a place for an orchestra. It's incredible. It's like the old school, like the Italians. They want the music. They want the food. They want the good drinks. Like that is my dream, to buy Smeraldo's and bring it back.
Wow.
That's quite a dream. Yeah. Oh yeah, it's a terrible dream and long in time investment. But
you know what you got to do though is you tweet that at Seth MacFarlane. I think you got that. That's gonna happen for you.
Oh,
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's
the problem is
this is really
yes. The problem is that the guys that own it are Sicilians, and I'm from my family's from Calabria. So you know the Godfather. They're Sicilians, which is different. It's a different vibe, you know. Like I'm from my great grandfather's from Calabria, so it's like we're kind of like the country folk, really tough. And so I always get in fights with Sicilians. So I'm not the best person to go in and try to buy it. Because I always, every time.
Ross, have you ever had a giant fight at a dinner table with your family? I know the answer is yes, so I just wanted to hear about it.
Yeah, there's a lot of scenes in this movie where every single person is telling each other to shut up in a different way. And that's like every single line. They're just like, it's amazing. I think you should take notes for next time you hang out with your family.
Just, yeah, ways to scream. There's, I feel like, the only reason for me to sort of do any sort of upper body workout is to sort of wear a tank top the way James Caan can wear
it. Oh, my God.
Let's go.
Adam, you did do the thing at my wedding where you made the photographer pull out the film of their camera and then threw it on the ground.
I smashed his camera. I smashed his digital camera.
I don't believe it. I don't believe this.
It was an updated version. Money on the ground, so it was okay.
It was an updated version. So I smashed his digital camera, and then I threw Bitcoin on the ground.
You're like, here's my Bitcoin.
Yes,
it's gonna be bad. My Bitcoin. Future.
Pick it up, you cyber animal. It was, yeah. Oh no, and I should say again, we're trying to not timestamp this, so Ricky Martin could be still alive, or he could, of course,
not be born yet.
Ricky Martin is a huge possibility, and somebody that I could also see being cast in the new Godfather, in some kind of New York situation.
Yeah, well, a lot of these actors were not actually Italian people, I think.
What?
Yeah, it's movie magic, like Al Pacino, I think. Anyway, I shouldn't say facts about this movie because that's not my strong suit right now. I didn't look up a single thing.
I watched it a while ago.
I did think of the Dunkachino's commercial that Al Pacino was in Jack and Jill a lot when I was watching his performance in this movie.
That's an incredible thing. If anyone hasn't seen this, I can't recommend it enough, and it's a scene within the Adam Sandler movie Jack and Jill. Which was, I found out about it through Tom Sharpling's The Best Show, because he was sort of talking about how Al Pacino goes 100% in any movie he's in, even if it's the worst movie in the world. Mm-hmm. And within the film Jack and Jill, I think Adam Sandler's an advertising executive and has Al Pacino be in a Dunkin' Donuts commercial advertising the Dunkachino, and he raps in the commercial, and it's... It's the greatest thing ever.
That's who you should have sing at your wedding. Or rap at your wedding.
Al Pacino. Yeah, who's going to rap? Who's going to rap when I walk down the aisle?
Damn. Okay, can we get real, though? Like, here's the thing. Al Pacino, like, when I'm looking at these actors, they're at their peaks, right? Like, young Al Pacino, beautiful. Michael, beautiful, glorious.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Did he age out? Is Al Pacino still like, are we like, man, that's the man?
Oh,
like,
this is a segment. You brought a segment.
I'm just saying, like, let's talk real.
Wait, but age out of what? Out of sexiness?
Age out of cool. Age out of sexy. Age out of not out of great actor.
Certainly not in the kissing scene in Heat that Adam referred to earlier.
No, he aged in.
He finally aged in. Just when he thought he was out. They pulled him back in.
Well, the thing,
he went through a soul patch phase, so let's get real.
Who, Ross? Me?
Al Pacino.
Who are we talking about? Oh, right. Yeah, definitely not me. Definitely not me. No.
Definitely not you. No, Adam, no.
Definitely
never,
not
never,
me.
Never.
I see
definitely
you're not
thinking.
Your video
definitely
off.
Wasn't thinking.
Definitely not me.
Yeah. There's something up with the connection. Zoom. I think it's with Zoom. It was just a filter. It's just a Zoom filter. Beautiful. I don't actually have a soul patch. I wasn't waiting to be complimented on my new soul patch. I think what's cool about how attractive Al Pacino is in this movie is he can be like a terrific scumbag and you can still be like, all right, dude, hell yeah.
Mm, I'll kiss your hand.
I will kiss that pinky.
Right.
His wife blows up in the car, and then he comes back to America, and he's like, you know whose life I think I'm going to ruin?
Let me get this Irish Catholic and ruin her
female
life.
Female character in the movie, yeah.
she gets a bad deal. It is such a bummer.
It's rough. Damn. She's written so that she immediately decides to throw her life away in the second half of the movie.
Damn. Yeah, well, a lot of people don't know it was a deleted scene from Annie Hall where a vase falls and hits her on the head, and then she wakes up and she's at the wedding with Al Pacino.
Oh, that's how
it starts. So it's the same. It's the same. That's why she doesn't. Mm-hmm. She has a different name, but it is actually the same character. And still, if you're gonna be with Woody Allen or murderer Al Pacino, I think it's no question who
Al Pacino all the way.
Well, so Becca, what do you think? Do you think he is still the man that he used to be? I'm trying to think of recent Al Pacino movies. Even
you can say that for anyone who's incredibly old now, though, right?
Right.
Robert De Niro, though. I mean, that's my baby. That he doesn't age out for me. So the Pacino, I mean. He's got a little of a scumbag vibe, doesn't he? And you know what? That I think it always, because I grew up with the Godfather movies, right? Like this is I'm not kidding when it's like family. Like
this movie before.
Oh, brother. I thought it was my family when I was a kid. I literally was like, is that grandpa? Like, you know, it's like definitely deep in the bones.
Wow. You know childhood. That everybody dies in this movie, right?
Yeah, everybody dies.
It's all death.
Yeah. So does grandpa. So does grandpa eventually.
Right. Yeah. Don't buy any oranges. That was your family motto. Yes.
Don't buy the oranges.
I was thinking that instead of bullets, they should have thrown oranges at each other in this movie. Let's get right to the
George
point.
Lucas recuts. George Lucas recuts The Godfather and replaces all the guns with sacks of oranges, and they're just hucking oranges at each other. There's all these squishy orange sounds. Oh, I would, maybe I'll do I'll see if I can get someone who's good at computers to do that for a scene.
Absolutely.
That would be really funny. Yeah, I hadn't seen this movie for so long because it was one of those movies where you're like, yeah, it's a classic, I'll get around to it. And then suddenly you're pretty old. But I feel like maybe you just haven't seen Al Pacino in the right roles. Like, have you seen the movie where he plays Phil Spector? That's pretty sexy.
Right.
Or Dr. Have you seen the movie where he plays Jack Kevorkian?
It's terrible.
That's pretty, sexy. Now, what about Joe Paterno? That's pretty sexy.
Did he play Joe Paterno? Did I miss that?
What's he doing? Al Pacino has this run of HBO movies where he's like, give me a villain. Give me like a new version.
Give me like a terrible
person.
A
new version.
Right, a real person.
Give me a new version of a living villain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm going to play them and do a really good job.
Well,
his Phil Spector is so good because he plays just old, crazy wig Phil Spector. And that's another one
that I used to think, though, that was like my grandpa was Joe Paterno. I grew up on Penn State football, too. So I'd go to the Penn State games.
Whoa.
I mean, RIP Penn State. But, you know, that was my childhood. You know, I grew up, my family's from outside of Philadelphia. And so
everything you love is destined for death. Basically.
Everything you have no heroes. Have no heroes.
No,
is my motto. Mm-hmm.
You do learn a lot about fathering in this movie, like the scene where the Godfather screams, "You can act like a man."
You can act like a man. That's one I'd heard that line all. I'd heard that soundbite a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he would play a little tape recording of it before he hit me with an orange. Wow.
He wasn't even involved enough to say it himself.
No. Yeah, he was on his way out. He left to buy armor. Then he came back. Yeah, you can act like a man. That's at Johnny Fontaine, right? He screams that at Johnny Fontaine, who's crying.
You can see why.
Johnny Fontaine. Because he was supposed to be what? Like Sinatra, right? Like that was like the play on the film, like insinuation.
That's what Frank Sinatra thought. he was a no big a fan of this movie.
Do you think Randy Newman ever thought maybe he was supposed to be that character when he was watching?
Right, like how many musicians were like, that's me. I know
that's
it's me.
That's definitely me. I know James Taylor is watching him. I know that that's me.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. I love talking to you about this, Becca, because it's so close to your actual family, where for me, it's like, it's truly like just looking at a portal into another universe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting because I don't.
You lived it. You've killed a lot of people.
My family has.
with your music, I'm going to turn this into a metaphor so you're not incriminating anyone.
Oh, there was many stories of my great-grandfather. Mm-hmm.
He also had two German shepherds that they would eat. And I know this sounds like a trope, but they would eat the spaghetti. Those German shepherds were living on some spaghetti and sauce.
Wow.
And then,
I know this sounds like a trope, but they would eat,
they would eat the spaghetti
and they would kiss at the end. They would kiss at the end. I know it's a trope. I know you heard it 1,000 times, but they'd sit outside the back door and then they'd eat the spaghetti and then they'd kiss when the spaghetti meets. That really is how they ate.
And my dad said that there was this chair that my great grandfather would sit in, and it was his lazy boy chair, and the two German shepherds would sit on either side, and they were like, they were not pets. Like, you would not be like petting these German shepherds. They were guarding my great grandfather. And then when he died, there was $1 million stuffed into that lazy boy chair.
What?
Later found out.
What?
Yeah. Nobody can sit in that chair.
You think the dog did
it? He was blowing up. Your great grandfather was blowing up that whole time.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Right. And someone should have told him. That's really wild. Wow, that's crazy. So
the family stuff is, it runs deep. And I remember my dad would even say, you know, his dad would say, Louie, don't get in trouble or I'm going to have to deal with it. So it's definitely like.
So this brings me to a question, which is, do you think there's ever a time, Becca, you might know the answer, when someone's saying they're making an offer that you can't refuse, that doesn't mean I'm going to murder you. That's the only thing that means, right?
You know, from the movie, a horrible scene where the horse head, right? Like the classic iconic scene. Mm-hmm. Oh. He wakes up.
When you finally see it, it's so gross.
I hope that we're
when
out
you hear
of
about
the,
it, you think it's fun.
I hope we're out of the age of movies where they
animals
throw in,
are being abused.
Well,
yes,
but also they throw in the real thing that the actor, you know what I mean? Like the actor's like expecting a fake horse head and then he wakes up and it's a real horse head in his bed. You know, that happened in Alien 2, I think, with like real blood that they just sprayed on the actors.
No,
like, come on, it'll be real. You gotta make it real.
Oh shit. Damn,
that's the beauty. Yeah, that's the beauty of being a psycho director.
Cinematography.
Say you're doing anything. Yeah. Meanwhile, I go to the store and spray real blood over everyone at the store, and I'm a bad guy.
Right.
Unbelievable.
Oh, wow.
Charged with being a bad guy recently.
Yeah, lock me up. If being a bad guy is a crime and if spraying blood all over everyone at the store is a crime, lock me up. Becca, we interrupted you. I'm so sorry.
You
were talking about the horse head in the bed.
Well, you know, Ross, your question is like, am I going to make an offer? I can't refuse. Is it always murder? I don't think so. And nowadays, you know, there's so much, especially in the music business. Mm-hmm. And like, I feel like I'm saying that all the time to people. I'm gonna make you an offer.
Do you mean murder?
I don't mean murder yet.
No. Okay.
But it could come to that at this point.
Right. I'm gonna make you an offer.
Brains on contracts.
I feel like my brain was on a contract recently. So yeah.
I'm gonna make you an offer you can't refuse.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's an offer where I beg you to follow me on Instagram. Yeah. And I beg you, please. You can't refuse me. You can't. If you do, I'm done.
I'm blowing up right now.
I'm
going to follow you and unfollow you so many times. You're going to get the picture that we're going to follow each other. This is an offer you can't refuse.
That's right. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
I'm going to
literally
pay
the new world sucks
to be involved.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Similarly.
Go ahead.
I think much like the offer, there's a lot of my favorite thing Al Pacino does in this movie is when he's just like he has obviously a very healthy relationship with Diane Keaton, and the thing that
tells
runs through this and
beautiful
and Godfather Part Two. Well, he's like, yeah, we're gonna have a wonderful life together, obviously, but never ask me about my business. under no circumstances.
That's kind of a red
flag. Ask me about my business.
And then he's
like, well,
one time you can.
Don't.
But I'm gonna straight up lie about it.
Don't you think this business might be murder?
Right, yeah.
All the time. Just don't ask me about it. Don't it's ask. Business.
Yeah, that's a bad sign when someone's like, "There's a whole portion of my life that you are not allowed to even witness at all in any form." But we're married and we have kids together.
I know. I feel like we're sort of trained by the culture we've watched to be like, yeah, it seems like as long as you get stuff, as long as like toys come home.
Yeah.
As long as, and it's like, I feel like in real life, it's just, there's never a world where that's like, yeah, I'll get stuff some other way. I'll find another situation.
Like, this is what business is. I don't want to be a part of that.
It makes me feel bad.
You know what I was thinking is that, you know, that Don Corleone is powerful in this movie because nobody ever asks him what the hell is in his mouth for the entire movie. They have so much respect for him.
This is, this is like how every movie, no one asks Arnold Schwarzenegger, like, what it's like being Austrian, where they just sort of let that whole part of his life not you know, American impose cop. On his character.
Mm-hmm. Just the beginning scene where he's, like, petting that cat, and he's just sitting there. You come to me on the day of my daughter's wedding, asking me, and you're like, what? Is this, I couldn't, that was my moment today when I was watching that scene, Marlon Brando with the cat. And he's just so, you know, menacing in a lot of ways. I remember as a kid watching it, just being like, damn, he's a badass. I'm like, what is that cat doing up there being so sweet? He had like this sweet side, which is so appealing. So it was like kind of the ultimate, like, you're rooting for the bad guy, right? Like, don't you find yourself the whole time being like, watching these guys murder so many people, murdering their own family, and you're still kind of rooting for them.
And then,
like, that's the OG, right?
You know,
there.
You know that something is personal when you keep insisting that it's not personal the entire time.
Mm-hmm. It's so personal.
It's so personal.
Everything's personal.
Yeah, killed my son.
Yeah, it seems like
it's business.
Wow.
Yeah, that's again just finding. You got to find another business. Yeah. And unfortunately, I mean, I know it's a custom, and maybe, Becca, you can address this, of course, as the resident authority. It just seems like you're going to miss a lot of your daughter's wedding. You got that great band there, and then you're inside the whole
this
time.
Is my biggest
it's this dark
business
room.
Day of the year, literally.
You're like, I'm going to, yes, I should be out there
office
dancing
hours,
with
nine
my
to
daughter.
Five, and then.
Yeah. Yeah. So
he's getting
you're
railed,
have
man.
Your wedding.
He's getting railed
Listen,
with all those requests.
Listen, you're my baby. I love you. You're going to have the wedding of your dreams. I'm going to be in another room.
The entire time.
Every leech I know, the worst moochers I know, are going to form a line. They're going to form a big... You'll see it the whole time.
I blame the Sicilians. I blame the tradition. That's a Sicilian thing. I don't know about...
Like, can we turn some lights on in this office? Can we open a blind?
Yeah. Well, and we are going to carry that tradition out in my franchise of Pizzeria Uno in Nashville that I open, where there will still be a long line to come see me on the day of my 2-for-1 margarita happy hour. And
you can margarita.
Ask me. Yeah.
Can't think of an Italian beverage. Me. Orangina.
No, it's Pizzeria Uno. It's not real. Yeah. It's not real. That isn't it. Yeah, Ross, if you do have a second daughter, I would love the opportunity to both be the godfather and name it Orangina.
It's a beautiful name. Yes, it's a beautiful name, but I'll have to go with a different last name, I think.
Is that your baby now? Did I just hear a baby sound?
You probably do hear my daughter crying.
That's Iris.
Yes, that is Iris crying in the background.
No, when I say that, then you say, never ask me.
Oh, right.
About,
never ask me about
my business.
Which is not personal. My family's business.
Yeah, it's actually very clear. My family's business. It's not personal. Yeah. My family's very personal. Never ask me about my business. It's not personal.
Yeah.
It's crazy because my family, like right before, so you know how you start in the first movie, you start going out to the casinos, right? Frankie's out there.
Yeah.
We're starting to get like the second movie set up, where the mob goes to Vegas.
There's a second movie?
Yeah.
Oh, gee.
Oh, Ross, you got us. Ross, you
go.
Got
is
see
it. Like,
it's so
is it
good.
Like Back to the Future 2, where they go back to the first movie and it's all scenes that take place in the scenes of the first movie?
It's
we
like The
from
Irishman
our
and that. Yeah, Godfather 2 is like The Irishman in that it features a very convincing young Robert De Niro.
Exactly.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Perfectly made up young Robert De Niro.
Sounds good. I'll check it out.
Unfortunately, we can't discuss it because it's called The Godfather Part 2, and we are only doing one word movies, which is why we're doing the Godfather. But you were, Becca. I'm so
sorry. It's okay.
I interrupted you again.
We need to break it up with this non-reality. But the reality is, I was going to tell you that when my So like, look, that would have been that movie was set in 1946, right? So that's crazy that we're already starting to like get the mob out in Vegas. But my dad, when he was like probably like 20, he was living in Manhattan and he was like going through this really bad time. And like he had never been in the mafia, you know, but everybody kind of circulates. They all know each other. You know, if you're like Italian in that part of the world at that time, about that part of the country, you know each other. You know, like, you know, old Joe or Frankie, you know, Vincente, like, oh, all my uncles, Dominic, Vincent, like, you know. And he said he was in a car with this guy who offered him a job in Vegas, this old timer.
Never get in a car.
Never get in a car. Never get in a car.
I would walk. Right. I would walk everywhere. There's no way you're getting in a car. I'm not turning a key.
If anyone says anything good about you at all, you know that they're about to murder
you. You're in trouble.
You. Yeah.
If they're building you up, they're going to break you down. That's the Italian way.
Pleasant small talk, you're going to die. Yeah. Anyway.
You're about to get the lash.
Go ahead. Yeah.
So he was sitting there and this guy was with like this, like, I don't know, this younger woman and his bodyguard, and he was like, you know, come on, Louie, like, come out to Vegas and make some money and, like, I'll teach you everything you need to know. And my dad was like, yeah, I'll think about it. And he said it was like 10 years later, every single person in that car was shot down. It was like during the 80s. Remember when the 80s? Oh you remember that? All the mob disappeared, right? What happened to the mob?
Unclear. I don't know. They stopped making movies. Godfather Part 3 came out and it had a lukewarm reception, so they all retired, I assumed.
No, man, those guys,
they all got killed? Oh my god.
Totally. So many of them got killed.
Wow.
No, I don't believe it. I actually don't think I'm not saying who's telling me to say this, but I don't think there was any I don't think there's such a thing as organized crime.
I thought that beard was looking pretty big over there, Adam. I don't know.
I'm talking on a podcast with a microphone in front of me, but I'm wearing a wire. Wearing a second microphone hidden in my beard. Yeah,
we can see the microphone stand going into your beard.
No, this is nothing. This is just
So who's your guys' favorite character in this movie?
Oh. I love James Caan. Sonny, right?
Yeah.
Sonny Corleone.
Yeah.
He's just like, I mean, he's
very chill.
He is a hot head. He is a real hot head.
He has a very big
but
penis,
he's got such a good
remark in the beginning of this movie.
Do they talk about how big his dick is?
I don't remember that. Imply that by at the beginning there's someone at a table at the wedding who's like, you know, showing a bigger and bigger size of penis, and then cuts to Sonny having sex.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
So it seems like...
Yep.
Oh, no. Sorry. You wanted to move on, and I think I was going to dwell.
No, I love Sonny. So I was going to say he's kind of like a style icon for me with the you know, his look was definitely powerful.
Right. You know...
But
tank top, curly hair.
His death scene only, I think, had one problem, which is not enough bullets. That's my problem with it.
I'm gonna drive through a toll booth differently.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wouldn't have happened with Easy Pass. If you had Easy Pass, wouldn't have happened.
Right.
Wow.
It is.
Wow.
That's really true.
It is.
That's really good.
Mm-hmm. I think he should have survived.
It is so many. So many bullets.
What's the brother? What's the brother's name? Robert Duvall. What is his name?
Tom.
Tom.
Yeah, Tom.
For some reason,
Tom's
I love
great.
Tom.
Tom's really
I don't know.
Great.
Oh, Tom. Tom's when awesome. I, w- not a yeah. real not a real brother, right?
Not, not a real not brother.
Not a blood brother.
No, Irish.
When I was in one summer, I went back to New Mexico, where I'm from, and I was playing in a local band, and one day they all stopped. I thought that everything was going great, and we were about to have a first gig or something. And they all talked to me after the first or one of these rehearsals, one of the early rehearsals, and they kicked me out of the band. So I really know what Tom Hagen was going through when he got demoted to Nevada. I really felt for him, you know.
That was brutal. Yeah. Wait, what was the band called?
I don't even think it was too early to have a name.
You do.
This is a bad memory, and I'm trying to help you dig it up.
I don't even remember what it was. Yeah. It was something like that. I don't want to timestamp this.
They're like, Ross, we talked about it as a band, and we realized all of us are hot except for you.
Yes, yeah, and I was also playing John Coltrane heads the entire time, so they kicked me out.
Yeah.
My favorite character is Fredo, though, definitely. I feel like Fredo is unobjectionably the best character in this movie.
Well, if you love Fredo, you should watch Godfather Part 2. He has a really great run in Godfather. Yeah, he loves fishing. He has the main character, and he has a triumphant ending where he goes on a fishing trip, and ends.
That's a beautiful ending for him.
That sounds nice. I'll check it out. Yeah.
Fredo is so... It is...
Oh, Fredo. That's triggering, man. That wrecked me.
It really is
sad. So he went out to Vegas to be in casinos, but what do you think he really wanted to do that he was always afraid to admit to his dad? I think
he was gay.
Yeah, I bet. I bet veterinarian. That's what he wanted to do for his job, but that was never, you know, on the table.
This is. I'm going to say you can be both. And I know, Ross, you have a problem with this, and Becca, you too.
Veterinarian?
No, gay veterinarian. I think you can.
Love it.
We love to see it. That's a deleted. That's a post-credit scene where Fredo comes back underwater, becomes a gay veterinarian.
Why would he be underwater?
Poor Fredo. Yeah, he. The fishing trip. He goes swimming at the end of the fishing trip. Never mind. Yeah. Don't worry about it. Yeah, it's nice. It's a nice lake.
I learned that there's a really cool thing you can do when you feel very insecure about yourself, which is just be horribly mean to people. That's something that's works, I think.
Yeah, it's so weird you thought he was gay, Becca, because he has such an awesome relationship in the movie. He's got such like a nice relationship with a beautiful woman, and they seem to really
get along. I just feel like I feel so much for him. I feel like that's why, and I'd say that with the utmost respect as a gay person speaking to another potentially, you know, I wanted him to have a chance. So that's my version.
It's tragic.
Of a new,
I mean, yeah.
It's a tragic story, and that's our tragic stories too often. But Godfather remake, let me make it. We'll get some.
You
want
to be Fredo in the Godfather remake?
I'd like to give him a better role, that's for sure. I'd like to flip the script on that for sure. Because he got a bad
people
rap.
Would love that. People love when you take classic movies and remake them and aggressively alter the plot.
Exactly.
I think people
really respond well to that, for sure. Right, that's like how they loved my new record that was so different than the last. They loved it.
Did they love it? All the people, you did. Listen.
They did this.
There's a really great thing that happened. If you have, it's lose-lose. If you make like a great like folky country record, then you better like be in that machine for the rest of your life. But the like first time you like have a little bit of like delay on a song, like there wasn't, it's like Roy Orbison didn't exist.
Right.
Everybody shut up. Everybody shut up about Becca's new album. Just shut up.
Stop letting me blow up. Shut up. Stop talking about me.
Yeah. Just shut
please.
Up.
Please.
No.
Never speak about
never
the
ask me. Never ask me about my music. Never.
I wouldn't dream of it.
I was thinking that if Fredo were in his own movie, it would be something like the non-confrontational gangster. And then the scene where Michael is negotiating with Freddie Green, he's so nervous to have
Mo Green, right?
To have
not jazz guitarist Freddie Green.
Yeah. He's so nervous to have a conversation about business. It's kind of amazing. He's like sweating, and it's great.
You need someone like that for a good movie, but then like I still watch it's if like the version of things existed the way I want them to exist, everyone would hate them. Where it's like, yeah, I'd love Curb Your Enthusiasm where like nothing goes wrong and you just like feel good the whole time. Godfather where Fredo, you know, gets to do whatever
he
wants.
Where Fredo's crying over his father's dead body and his father's shot body, and his father gets up and hugs him and says it's okay to cry.
Oh, honey.
Wait, did that happen?
Was Fredo driving? Was he driving?
Fredo was driving, and he tries to shoot the people who are shooting his father. And he drops the gun, which is exactly what I would do in that scenario.
Same.
Yes.
Oh God.
Yeah. Yeah. At what point in your life as a member of the Corleone family do you like leave and not say goodbye? If I was in there, it's like I was watching an action movie recently and there's like a scene where someone goes through a glass window and then keeps going on like the chase. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, I'd be done. The second I go through glass, right. I'm like,
you're gone.
Okay.
First of all, what happened to my car?
Well, I'm not. This hurts. This really hurts. Oh, so much glass. You get all cut up. But in the movie, in movies, people just keep running. So again, a movie I would love to see is an action movie where someone kind of swings through a plate glass window, and then the rest of the movie is their like slow recovery in physical therapy, and they eventually can,
I think you could spin that movie, Adam. I have no question about that. It's got to be a dark comedy.
It's got to be I'm thinking silent.
Silent, oh God, movie. I'm off the train again.
No, you got to throw the Godfather theme
confidence
in there.
Gone.
Just put the Godfather theme in it. The Godfather theme shows up in a lot of places in the movie, I feel like. And I feel like the characters should have noticed that. They're like, wow, this song keeps playing at the wedding and a bunch of other scenes.
So I'm glad you brought this up because I felt unprepared for this episode. I felt like I didn't have anything.
Mm-hmm. No audio cues.
To kind of offer, as I think the reviews are coming in now that a few of the first episodes are out, the general consensus seems to be Adam has nothing to offer. Ross should talk more. Adam
less talking talk less. From both Adam, of us, I think, is the...
More thoughtful pauses for the listener to consider what we've just said. But so I need to take my headphones off for a second. But I thought,
oh my God,
I could really quickly.
Jesus, I gotta go after this.
This is amazing.
Sing us out.
Nino Rota's headphones back on. So it's called the love theme is the one that was my favorite from the Godfather. And so this is
incredible.
This is an accordion that I've. It's my friend's dad's accordion that I've had for a long time. Never played it successfully, but it sounds like that. I was like, well, then in like the hour before we tape, I should just like listen to the love theme from The Godfather a bunch of times and see if I can play it on the accordion.
Incredible content.
Let me see if I can remember now.
Zoom audio is incredible right now. Like a tiny sound.
Yeah, and then it goes no.
That's great.
So that's
there you go. That was beautiful.
That's that, and then
you should carry that around and play that in all kinds of public situations.
Oh, that would be
situations.
Iconic. All of us would know.
Becca's
wedding. I think that Adam is available.
The true ones would know. The true ones would know exactly.
Absolutely.
I don't know. I mean, sure. I mean, if you're asking me to learn "Live in La Vida Loca" and play it on the accordion poorly as you walk down the aisle, I'd love to. Yeah, I'm thinking maybe for the next episode, I just keep a light drone going the whole time.
Yeah, like so it's
and
like
we
a
kind of see how that feels.
Podcast.
I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I tried to get
good,
it with
Adam.
The chords. Yeah. I'll get there.
Yeah.
Here we go. No.
Oh, no. Wow.
So sad.
Now, see, I spent a lot of time learning it, and I still don't quite have it. But it's a really fun song to play on the accordion.
Becca, you should cover it
second,
on your next
course,
album. Write some lyrics.
I was going to say, I'm 100% inspired right now. This is incredible content for the next record. And a totally Italian record. All Italian instruments. Easy.
Mm-hmm. Featuring Johnny Fontaine.
Featuring.
Mm-hmm.
Your next album should be a concept album as Johnny Fontaine.
Wow. Oh, that's brilliant. Yeah.
I'm too scared. I feel the mafia is still alive, actually. I'm too scared. I can't go there.
Yeah.
They're
all right.
I was trying to help you feel better to sleep at night, but they're out there still.
Listen, you're gonna have to try harder than that.
Okay, good.
The concept album of Johnny Fontaine does he die?
I'm trying to remember. I feel like he survives it.
I don't think he does. No, yeah, he's just a movie
star. I think he gets doesn't he get hooked up? Yeah, I feel like he does the thing so that
he becomes super famous. Yes, mm-hmm. And then he helps him. He goes to the whole thing was he was going to go to Vegas and do the shows, you know, and bring in the money.
Yeah, I guess the concept album I want to hear is then like after the opening scene, like after he's told mm-hmm. to act like a man and gets hit
right
by an already very old Marlon Brando.
You know, he was
goes,
he was 34 when
he goes back to his room. That's not
no,
true.
He was not. Get out of my life.
Well, you know, I didn't look it up, but
yeah, a lot of people don't know.
Becca, do you have anything else that you really want to let out about this movie? Shout about?
No, I mean, it's just, I watched it. I'm so fresh on it.
You have such a twinkle in your eye when you talk about it.
Yeah, I feel like it just
taken
like,
back.
Well, all morning. So, you know, my girlfriend is like walking around all day and all morning I'm watching The Godfather for 3 hours, you know, and she's just like staring at me like, what did I get into? Like
I might die.
Relatable to this bitch. Like, this is getting
Becca, you don't mind if I play a little bit the story, do you? Like,
don't ask me about what I'm watching.
I'm like, don't ask me about my business. Yeah. You can ask me anything, but don't ask me about the business.
The thing that Michael ends up just learning about being a mobster, oh my God, that's so loud. Is that he's basically like, no one in the mafia ever thought that, why don't I just kill everybody? He's like the first guy to be like, I could just kill everybody. And I could lie about it too. I could like say that I don't worship Satan at the end when clearly I do.
Right.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's a nice scene.
That's a nice scene.
Right. Man, I'm so inspired. I'm literally going to get off this and watch the second one. I got to know.
That too. Fredo's Revenge. Is that
Fredo's Revenge? I got to plan it. And then don't they go to Cuba in the third one?
They go to, you're confused. They go to Cuba in the movie musical Guys and Dolls, which also starred.
They do go to Cuba, I'm telling you.
Which also stars Marlon Brando.
That's right. Yeah.
So I understand.
Same character.
Which is another instance of another Marlon Brando Frank Sinatra crossover trivia. Frank Sinatra, what a big whiny baby. Super
big whiny baby.
Super
great.
Big whiny baby about this character in this movie who was not named Frank Sinatra, get over it. And then big whiny baby in the movie musical Guys and Dolls when he wanted to play the role of Skye Masterson, which ultimately went to Marlon Brando bad. Then they cast Marlon Brando and Frank Sinatra is like, but this guy can't sing, which is true.
Which is true.
Really. and so I think he was just totally unpleasant on the set of Guys and Dolls, which is too bad because it seemed like a pretty fun set to be on.
Yeah.
And if anyone else has any other movie facts that aren't related to The Godfather, I think now is the perfect time to say them.
I said the thing about Real Blood. I don't have anything else.
I'm out, y'all.
Yeah. Great.
I'm out of juice.
Listen, as I said, this, you know, the reviews are in this podcast. Other podcasts are blowing up. This one, of course, is powering down. And this has been such a treat talking exclusively about the movie The Godfather.
We
broke our rule.
Yes. One more thing that I did learn that you guys should try to apply to your life is that whenever anybody tells you something or whenever you're going to do something, you tell the person, what am I going to do? Kill this person. And that's exactly what you are going to do.
Wow.
Sonny does that like 3 times in this movie. What am I going to do? Leave you a widow? Yes, you are. That's what your plan is.
That's true. That's
so
true.
There's a little, wow, you know,
that is true.
Little piece of life. It's a life hack for everybody out there. And Becca, we can't thank you enough. Yeah, if you, you know, come back for Godfather Part Two.
We can't.
I mean, the Irishman. Come back for the Irishman.
Thank you so much. I hope everybody listening out there knows that we're not serious about killing anyone. And, you know,
yes,
we didn't say anything about killing anyone. You were the only one.
I'm blown up. I can't power down.
You're the only one who this whole time was
I'm
like,
the only Italian. Of course you're going to pin it on me. So yeah.
I didn't say that. I would never say.
Oh man.
Yeah, my family wasn't in the mafia, but everyone like around was. You got to remember that.
Right. We're yeah, close enough. You're Jewish, right? Like we got ties. Are you Adam?
I'm trying to not timestamp this podcast. I'm also trying to not religion stamp this podcast in any way. So as long as anyone looks at photos of me from the neck down, it's I'm not Jewish.
Okay, bless.
No, I'm very, you know, I'm very Jewish. No, and the family, yeah, the family thing is real.
Yeah.
Of course, yeah, never ask me about my business, which I'll tell you this, which I wish I should maybe write this movie. Because my cousin on my father's side, which is a lot of the New York Jews, my I don't know, great cousin, not an uncle, doesn't matter. It's personal, don't ask me about it. He runs a macaroon empire. He has a company, and his website, which I feel like maybe expired, was themacaroonking.com. But you can see his macaroons.
Oh, I remember this. Yeah.
And Whole Foods, all these places. Oh. It's called, you know, Jenny's are the names of the chocolate macaroons. But he had a factory, like a big like bakery factory.
Did it blow up?
It didn't blow up. It blew up in that the neighborhood blew up and they didn't renew their lease. No, I think they actually sold it, but it was in South Williamsburg. It was like right near where I was playing shows at Glasslands and Death by Audio, and then could like walk to South Fifth Street and see this sort of like crazy awesome old school macaroon factory.
Wow.
This was 2007, 2000. The company still exists, but I think it was just a bakery business. I would love if there was sort of a seedy underbelly of kind of keeping the competition out, maybe a couple two tree legs getting shoved into the mixer, that type of thing.
If it was a pharmacy, then we would have a different story, because that's always a front.
On my mom's side of the family, not Jewish, but my great uncle Eddie did run a pharmacy for many, many years in Fairfield, Connecticut. But that definitely wasn't
Don't go in the back room.
No, it wasn't a front. They sort of specialized in brown paper bags with stuff inside of it.
Okay.
And that was their main, that was their most popular.
And didn't you work at a competing pharmacy to get information about them for many years?
I pretend that's what it is when every time I have to punch in my phone number for my CVS account, which
your
is
job
sort
was
of
to,
makes me feel.
Your, was to mail the fishes.
Yeah, what I would go, I would take the photo of the horse head in the bed to prove that I did it, and then I'd have to go to Walgreens to kind of get it developed, and it would take a long time.
Modern crime, it's such a different story, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, wow. You can just take a picture.
Modern crime.
Yeah. Wow.
Modern crime is such a bummer.
Yeah, it totally is. Lost all its luster for sure.
Well. This is, you heard it here first. It was better in the old days. Blowing up cars, AOL chat rooms, Charleston Chew, Costa Nickel.
Bruises that never healed, like Al Pacino's in the second half of this movie.
Does he have a bruise on his face?
Bruise never heals. You're so right. It took so long.
For like 30 minutes of the movie. Yeah.
Yes.
It's quite a shot.
Yeah. Wow.
Well,
I think I'm
this
done.
Has been this has been a real treat. We're powering down. Becca, thank you. So I feel like this was actually 15 minutes of us thanking you for being on the show, which is
that's
nice.
That's because we're scared. we're scared now.
We are scared of you. But don't take it personally. We're scared
of
all our guests.
Don't worry.
Any other people. Okay. Well, I'm Adam. That's Ross. Thank you, Becca.
You.
This has been Ross and Adam at the movies. Here comes the outro theme. If you're wanting to record it at home to kind of play for your friends, press record on your recorder now.
I thought you might join.